Three.
Oh, wow.
Hello, this is Jack Llewellyn with the Durango Chamber of Commerce. And for all things chamber, simply go to durangobusiness.org. I am here with Blake Morris and Maggie Morgan. And I'll disclose from the start. So, Blake, you're my stepson. I'm
Yes.
sorry. Maggie, daughter-in-law. How are you two doing?
Doing great.
Great.
Good. Now, so you're in the Coast Guard. We'll get that up front, and we're going to talk about the helicamper here in a minute. Both lieutenant commanders, is that, am I getting that rank correct?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. That is correct. Oh, four.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
four.
Yeah, I guess that's the other way to say it. Cross services.
Oh, so we'll get into that in a later segment. All this, this military technical stuff that. I'm just the chamber guy. I don't understand all of that. But what I want to talk about, you have created quite the project for yourself, and it's a helicamper, you call it. So you converted a helicopter fuselage into a camper. So where in the world did you come up with this idea?
Well, that's a good question because I still don't know exactly how I came up with it. It was a lot of browsing on Facebook Marketplace, I think, which is funny that that's where we found it. But I like to look at old stuff, mostly stuff that I don't need, old cars, airplanes, things like that. And it just happened to pop up on there. And it was close by. It was only like an hour and a half away from where we live in Mobile. So I figured that looks kind of neat, and then just kind of continued on. And I guess the idea for it burrowed into my brain over time, and I kept just thinking about, oh, it'd be cool to make something out of that. And it basically spiraled from there.
So it was this is a helicopter that was in service. And if I remember right, is it a Puma 330 for those people that may understand helicopters?
Yes. Yeah. It's a Puma SA-330. It's a French helicopter built in 1979. So it's an older one, but it was in service until about 2011, 2012 was the
Okay.
last time that I could find any paperwork on it or anything, but been around for a little while.
Well, and you've posted pictures of this helicopter actually in service when it was working.
Yes. Yeah, I was able to find quite a few online. You can just Google the tail number on it, and that was really nice. So you can find pictures of back when it was in the German military police. That was kind of the beginning of its life or most of its life. And then from 2003 onward, it was used in Afghanistan by a defense contracting company and
Okay.
then made its way to the US sometime around 2011, from what I could tell. And from there, then I think it went to the boneyard from there, or was stripped for parts and stuff like that.
Right. Well, and I actually think I forgot to spell. You guys are both helicopter pilots in the Coast Guard. So there's a love of helicopters, obviously.
Yes, definitely. There's a love for aviation that just is a baseline for us.
Very cool. Now, when you, so you, well, all right, Maggie, I'm gonna have Blake plug your ears. Maggie, what did you think when your husband Blake came to you and said, I want to buy this fuselage and this is how much it is, and I'm going to turn it into a helicopter or into a camper.
Well, I thought it was a creative idea. I had never heard of anything like that before. And I had confidence he would be able to pull it off. It sounded like he had thought this through more than just, 5 minutes. So I said I thought it would be a really cool project if he pulled it off. And, the price point wasn't going to break the bank. So I said, just go ahead and take a look at it and see what you think of it when you visit it in person to see. The dimensions and everything. And he's always been successful with all the projects he's done at the house and with cars and other trailers. So I knew he could figure it out.
Doing these projects.
Yeah. How many hours do you have into this already?
So I've been bad about keeping track over the last 6, 8 months or so. When I was working on it really consistently, I was better about it. And I have about 900 hours in
Wow.
it from when I was keeping a good log. It's probably a little bit over that now, but that's just my labor hours as well. So I don't count when Maggie helped me or when other friends helped or things like that. So there's many more man hours that were shared, but I was just keeping track of mine.
Yeah. And so you get the fuselage and then you strip the parts and all the other things out of it from, you know, the floor. Walk me through the process of how you decided what steps to do first, second, third, because you've never done anything like this. I mean, who does take a helicopter fuselage and make a camper?
It took a little bit of sitting around and thinking about what made sense, and mistakes were made throughout the process. So I'm sure if I went back and did the exact same thing again, I might do some things differently, but just kind of sitting and thinking about what is a logical order for it. It was pretty clear immediately that we needed to clean it up and basically strip a lot of extra items, the weight out of it. So components that we didn't need or old wiring or old hydraulic lines or fuel. It smelled pretty bad. It smelled like bad hydraulic fluid and bad avgas or Jet A. So that was kind of gross. So we knew that needed to happen first. And then from there, it's just kind of going down the list of then cutting the floor apart to figure out how to make it usable as far as standing up and where I wanted things, insulating from there and plumbing and wiring. And then it just kind of starts to roll together, make more sense over time.
Yeah, just one step at a time. He would kind of plan the next step as he went. So he didn't have the full idea when he first started it, but he had plenty of time while it took months to strip out all of the old stuff to kind of get the baseline plan.
Right. And then what, let me ask you this. So what was the biggest challenge or something that you went, oh, wow, I didn't see that in this whole planning process?
The biggest challenge, I think, was dealing with the shape, because everything is curved. And so it's curved, like even the floor is curved upward on the edges.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ceiling is curved over your head, you know, because it's a kind of an airplane shape or helicopter shape. And then it also tapers as it goes forward and back as well. So it's almost like cigar shapes. And so that was a challenge because there's no such thing as like a straight line in that. So I have to build around curves and somehow trying to make things look nice without it being a box. So that was probably the biggest challenge. That was maybe the least fun. The other challenges were more fun, like figuring out how to do plumbing and wiring and stuff like that. But the straightness was difficult. So,
and then, you know, bending the aluminum, it's aluminum on the inside, right? Or the walls. I mean, you put the insulation, you sprayed, had it sprayed, right? And you mentioned to me one time that the guy said, this is really cool. I've never sprayed something like this before for insulation.
Yeah, it was nice. The spray foam contractor was like, this is a great project. And he actually asked if he could put some pictures of it on his website and stuff as well for his business, because it was just such a unique thing. So yeah, we figured, again, spray foam made sense because trying to put normal insulation in with all the different shapes and curves and nooks and crannies and things like that was just not going to make sense. So the spray foam works really well.
And then the floor, you use that self-leveling epoxy, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. When we got down to the floor level as well, I knew I had to do something to get it relatively level and flat, at least for most of the distance under where we walk. So yeah, and I was going to put some sort of flooring down on top of that, I knew. So I used kind of a mixture of expanding foam and then covering that with like a leveling epoxy to get it straight. And then we put flooring on top of it.
But okay. Neat. And then I know you also, I think this is really cool. The bathroom door is an actual door from like an airplane lavatory.
Yes. Yeah. It actually makes sense too. Like as far as
save space.
Yeah, it does save space and it's light. So it has a lot of benefits beyond just like looking cool because it's an airplane lavatory door, but it's surprising. You can get them for, you know, like $75 on eBay. Apparently I just did a quick look on eBay and I was surprised.
That was one of the steps that was much easier than we expected.
Really? Huh?
Yeah. One of the few things that went faster and easier than
less expensive.
Yes.
Now, and so Maggie, I know, if I remember right, you said the one thing I want to be able to do is to sit in the cockpit in the morning and have coffee. And are you able to do that?
Not yet.
Oh.
He's still working on that. He
That's
got
still a
the he had
promise.
to get the inside finished completely so we could actually take it camping first. So that was a main priority. And then the cockpit's been kind of challenging because it's just hard to find parts and there's some broken windows and those are really difficult to find. So he's having to figure out what to do to replace those windows. And it's been well, after he finished the inside, it's been so hot in Mobile over the summer, it was difficult to work on the outside of it. So the cockpit's not air conditioned. So he was not going to work on that in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. Mobile in the summer. That alone right
No.
there. Yeah,
Working outside is not something you want to do in the middle of the summer there.
no kidding. So you also had to have a custom frame built, dual axle. And then explain how you took the fuselage and then set it on the frame, and is it welded onto there, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's kind of pinned on and welded on a little, kind of a combination. But I sat down with my friend Josh, who is a blacksmith and a farrier, and he also does a lot of metalworking and things like that. So he was a huge help. He did, 90% of the technical work on helping me build the trailer frame, which was great. But we started with literally sitting down at a workbench and getting a piece of paper out and just kind of drawing out what we thought it should look like, and then taking measurements and doing angles, and then buying the steel and laying it out on the shop floor and going from there. So it was a completely made from scratch project.
No.
So,
Now,
and then we pinned it on. We attached it where the main landing gear and the nose landing gear were supposed to attach. So we figured those would be good strong points to put it on, and then pinned it and welded the pins in. So it's kind of pinned on but welded to hold it.
if so, excuse me, if somebody wants to see the heli camper, you're on Instagram, Facebook. Can people go online and check this out and friend you, like you, and get all the followers?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an Instagram account. It's Helicamper, Helicamper_ RV. So that's our Instagram handle. We make Facebook posts as well, just kind of on our personal profiles, but really Instagram is the best place. And so we now that we use it and we actually camp in it, we try to also post, try to be good about posting when we go on camping trips and things like that. So, but you can see the whole progress from the day that it showed up on the back of a flatbed to today. And as I continue to finish up these last few things, hopefully we'll have that documented too.
And I'm sure that when people see this going down the road or pulling into a campsite, do you even get time to set it up before you get swarmed? But it's like a bunch of bees going, "What is this?"
No, we always get swarmed, even if we're stopping for a gas at the gas station.
Wow.
It's fun though. Yeah, it's a challenge sometimes when we're pulling in and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to start making dinner and everything and
Getting it
trying to
all hooked up.
get
And we
everything
want
hooked
to answer
up.
everybody's questions and talk to them. So,
Yeah.
we try to make ourselves available while we're camping. If we're hanging out outside, we certainly don't mind showing it off to people.
Now.
Yeah, we would not have built a helicamper trailer and hauled it around if we didn't want to talk to folks. So yeah, we're happy to discuss it.
Well, you sorry, we're recording this on via Zoom, and somebody's at the door, I think. But so along the same line, well, you know what? I'm gonna wrap this. So give me your handle one more time.
It's Helicamper, Helicamper_RV. And that's on Instagram. So at Helicamper_RV.
All right. Well, I'm gonna. This is so funny. This is what you gotta love about, I'm afraid, live recording. But I'm gonna take a break, And again, this is Jack Llewellyn with the Durango Chamber of Commerce talking with Blake Morgis. See, I go by your other handle that I know you by. Blake Morris and Maggie Morgan, a.k.a. Morgis. And yeah, stick around. We'll be back.